Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Americans watching China may have heard of Evergrande, the real estate titan under mountains of debt that Beijing may allow to go under. But there's a bigger plot line here, according to many observers, and that is for the government of Xi Jinping to overhaul the entire economic system in China and potentially return to the socialist goals declared decades ago. What might this look like? Well, let's bring in Lingling Wei. She's chief China correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, and she's been writing a lot about this. Lingling, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Now, Americans have heard about Beijing seeming to strong-arm specific companies that maybe were seen as, you know, coloring outside the lines, getting too greedy, property developers, video game companies. But the list keeps growing, right? Ride-sharing companies, online payment companies. What's the bigger story here?
It's not just a regular crackdown targeting a few companies, a few billionaires. This campaign, initiated by President Xi Jinping, has been quite broad. It's very much driven by ideology and politics. This is much ambitious plan by Xi to try to remake China's economy, basically to bring the economic model back on the road to socialism and away from Western-style capitalism.
Many who watch China are familiar with this state capitalism model, right, favoring certain state-owned companies, favoring certain industries. But for years, directionally, the sense was always toward opening to market forces. Deng Xiaoping, the former leader famously, is supposedly to have said crossing the river by feeling for the stones, but going across the river, is the river no longer being crossed?
You're exactly right. For many years, China's leaders have been leaning toward basically adopting Western-style capitalism. They really embraced market forces. However, I would say one turning point was in 2008 during the global financial crisis. You know, back then, the Western financial system basically was teetering on the brink of collapse. And China, you know, thanks to their very heavy state-led intervention into the economy, not only didn't get hit by the global financial crisis and ended up being the savior of the whole world economy.
I was there and I still remember Chinese leaders saying, well, you know, the economic teachers in the West who were lecturing us for so many years, they got it wrong. We got
it right. Exactly. Right. So that marked the beginning of the rethinking of the Western model. Under President Xi Jinping, the trend toward greater authoritarianism is basically accelerating. So you're definitely seeing a much more masculine role being played by the government, the party, in China's economy.
And this muscular model you're talking about, is there a person in mind that the Communist Party is thinking about? When I read about this, I think I have a cousin in China, and he is in his 30s, and he says, you know, I will never be able to afford my own house. I can't climb this ladder anymore. There's too much inequality here, and I'm stuck.
This issue of widening inequality is becoming more pressing an issue for the leadership. And same in the West, right? However, we should not lose sight of the fact that much of the inequality in China was precisely because of the government's intervention in the system. Most of the resources and credit, you name it, really are concentrated in the hands of state sector and local governments, not in the households. You know, that's the biggest distortion and biggest imbalance in China's economy. The cousin you just mentioned, feeling really overburdened by ever-rising housing prices. You know, many people in China, many of my friends, feel the same way too. No question, Xi Jinping needs to address this, and he is. He's finally slaying this dragon, as evidenced by the, you know, mess at Evergrande.
Yep.
However, to really address, you know, the over-reliance on the housing market while not hurting the economy overall too much. There are many structural changes the government has to make. For example, you know, the role by the state banks in financing companies mm-hmm. and businesses, and the kind of favoritism toward state companies, and also the kind of relationship between government and business.
And I want to ask you more about the leadership. Tell me about the self-interest of the Communist Party in all of this, the self-interest of Xi Jinping in all of this.
Xi Jinping is the most powerful leader in China in recent decades. He really believes in Marxism, and he has tried for quite a long time really, you know, adopt the Maoist tactics to keep the party and himself in power. So you compare what's happening in China now to the era under Jiang Zemin and Hu Jintao. You know, back then, they still very much followed the agenda laid out by Deng Xiaoping, which was development was the overarching goal for the party.
Development, right. Development and growth.
Everything
right.
else.
Hit the growth
right.
targets.
Exactly.
Hit the growth targets.
Exactly. Yeah. But under Xi, the bias is for party building and party control. You know, nowadays, the Communist Party basically permeates every aspect of the Chinese life, from military, foreign policy, politics, to the economy, education, even down to how much time your children should spend playing video games.
Yeah, three hours a week, yeah?
Right, it's very broad.
So outside of China then, what questions should people be asking? I mean, for so long, China has been an indispensable engine for economic growth. There have to be trade-offs here. Is there a sense the economy will grow more slowly? Is there a sense that certain industries that have been targeted are really much more risky for investors than we might have thought?
Pretty much everybody has a stake in China's future. You know, global investors, even retired Americans who have money in pension funds and those funds invest in China. So absolutely, you're right. It's a huge risk, not just for China itself, for the party itself, for Xi himself, but also for the world. I think a lot of economists already have come out and predicting a slowdown in Chinese growth going forward. And the biggest risk for the party and for Xi himself is that this campaign, it does seem like a populist campaign, you know, addressing inequality issues and all that. But it really risks hurting entrepreneur energy that has powered China's growth and innovation for so long. And I do think this is a huge gamble on Xi's part, because China is not a rich country yet. Per capita GDP in China still very low compared to wealthy countries like the U.S. Mm-hmm. and European countries.
Finally, I just want to ask if you have any observations about how this far more muscular role of the party and the government is that you're describing is felt on the street. When you talk to regular people there, what's your sense of how this kind of impacts daily life?
When you talk to market people in China, you know, they really would tell you how confused and worried they are in terms of the direction of the policy. But when you ask the 老百姓, the ordinary people on the streets, and some of them really support the initiative. For a lot of unprivileged people in China, they welcome the change. They do feel like certain, you know, connected businessmen in China, you know, had allowed to benefit too much from the system, and now is a chance for them to give back.
Lingling Wei is chief China correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. Her book on the U.S. and China is Superpower Showdown. She's the co-author. Lingling, very good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.